They're worried on Wall Street. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. The Dow is plunging almost 600 points in a Trump tariff sell-off.
We're going to make America great again. We have to focus on our country.
Now, President Trump just posted on Truth Social he's talked to Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, and they'll speak later today as Trudeau and Mexico's leader vow to retaliate against tariffs set to go into effect at midnight. 25% on goods from Mexico and Canada, though just 10% on Canadian oil and gas, same as the tariffs on Chinese imports.
These tariffs, though, have some Americans a little uneasy, but the president says there might be some pain in the short term, but in the long run, he says this is done for the good of the country. Now, he sees he's better that Americans will be okay with a slight increase in prices on some goods in order to stop fentanyl from crossing the borders, as well as stop what the president calls an invasion of illegal migrants.
Fox Business Network's Edward Lawrence at the White House. After all the immigration raids and the deportations ramp up, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth will go to the border today. The head of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, also in Texas, telling Fox.
We've got a president that loves this country, and he appreciates all of you that are doing the work for the American people, and I'm going to let them know I've got their backs.
Crews are back in the Potomac River this morning, removing more of the wreckage of the American Airlines regional jet that collided with an Army helicopter, killing all 67 people on both. They'll be looking for more bodies, too. 12 of them have yet to be recovered. A big question remains, was the helicopter flying higher than allowed, and why? Data shows the plane was about 325 feet, the helicopter 200, but that info may not be up to the second.
So what we've done is pulled additional data to get better, more granular information to understand the altitude.
The National Transportation Safety Board Chair Jennifer Hammond, you just told Fox they'll release that info later today. They also have the black box recorders from the small plane that crashed Friday night in Philadelphia right after takeoff, killing all six people on the plane and a person in the car on the ground. America's listening to Fox News.
You've heard me talk about Relief Factor and how many people enjoy a better, more pain-free life because of it, including me. If you're dealing with everyday pain, it makes sense you want to try it first. Well, Relief Factor makes that pretty pain-free as well with their three-week quick start for only $19.95. But Relief Factor is an easy, affordable way to see how it could literally change your life. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally, developed by doctors. Relief Factor doesn't just mask the pain temporarily, it reduces or eliminates pain. In fact, the longer you take it, the more effective it is. Trying it couldn't be easier with their three-week quick start for $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Just takes one phone call, 1-800-4-RELIEF, 1-800-4-RELIEF. Wherever you're having pain, every day you feel better is a day you live better. Try Relief Factor's three-week quick start today. ReliefFactor.com. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF, 1-800-4-RELIEF.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Zachary Moran Norris. Well, the UMass Silver Spur Rodeo is less than just a week away, and last night, sponsors at the event gathered to celebrate at the annual Horseman's Banquet. It's known as the official kickoff to the rodeo. It was held at the Yuma Clubhouse out on County 14th Street. The 80th annual Silver Spur Rodeo will kick off on Friday, February 7th through the weekend. And sticking with the Western theme, the Crossroads Mission hosted the 2025 Country Love and Hoedown at Britain's Farm this weekend. Those who attended enjoyed an afternoon of live music, food, dancing, raffles, and auctions. The shelter says the event will raise funds for a new men's center that will be called the Center of Hope. And Pars Under the Stars was back in Yuma this weekend. It started as a small glow-in-the-dark golf tournament several years ago and has now become one of the most anticipated events of the year. It took place Saturday night at the Desert Hills Par 3 golf course. Catch us on News 11 tonight at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
It's been a real journey since 2014 when I first had my injury. I realized that my home was just not working for me and that it was time to ask for help. Homestar Troops is really giving me my life back. The shower allows me to go in and turn around with my chair, pull down storage racks, automated door systems, hours of my morning given back to me. Adaptive sports are a huge part of my life, a huge part of my healing journey as well. Homestar Troops helped with making sure that I had a home gym so that I can continue to train. This past year, I was able to host Thanksgiving in my home. And it was the first time I was able to have my whole family in one place, and I was able to contribute to the meal. There are a lot more veterans in need, and Homes for Our Troops is going to be there to help them too.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Here's forecast. Average high for this week of the year is 74, so we'll be warmer than average all week with 85 and sunny on Monday, 54 Monday night, sunny and 84 on Tuesday, 55 Tuesday night, 80 and sunny on Wednesday, 52 Wednesday night.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 Americans are sick of the divisions in our country? But there's one small step we can take to remember that we're still connected. All over America, strangers with different political views are coming together to talk about their lives, not politics, and discovering they actually have a lot in common. Because even if we don't see eye to eye, we can still talk heart to heart. So let's talk for a change. Learn more at takeonesmallstep.org.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Sean Garner. We're in studio here with Adam Hanson and Jeff Cook. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you.
Doing Dr. well. Dr. Jeff well. Cook.
Doing great, actually.
Yeah. So let's talk about experiences where you're trying to do something good, okay, and it kind of backfires on you for one reason or another. I had one just last week.
Okay.
So I was coming back from lunch. I go home for lunch every day. And even if I only have 30 minutes, my house is only 5 minutes away. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to get at least a 10-minute nap. So that's my routine. None of that has anything to do with what I'm about to say. But that's where I was coming back from, and I was waiting on 6E to cross 32nd Street, and it's a busy intersection, mm-hmm, waiting at the stoplight, and I see this 2x4. It's about probably an 8-foot 2x4 in the middle of the intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought is, oh, I need to swerve around that. I do not want to hit that with my car. And then I was like, well, probably nobody wants to hit that with their car. I ought to use my green light. I'm the only one that's going to be going north on 6E, so I don't have anybody behind me. I figure I've got enough time. If I play this right, I could be real cool, open my door, not even stop the car, just slow it down, reach out and grab that stick and just keep on cruising. And I'll do something good without even really using a lot of energy. And that's the best. So the light turns green, and I go and open my door, and my car is one of those that if you open the driver's door, everything shuts off. And so I wasn't quite at the stick, so I'm grabbing for it because I was thinking I'm going to open the door and coast up to it, but I opened the door a little prematurely, so I wasn't quite at the stick. Yeah. And so now my car is off, and I'm in the middle of the intersection, and I'm still not at the stick. So I'm like reaching for it, and I can't get it. So I got to undo my seatbelt, grab the stick, and I can't turn my car back on with the door open. Uh-huh. And it's an 8-foot 2x4, and I'm in a sedan. So I'm committed at this point. I can't leave this stick in the road. And so I go to bring it inside my car. It's not going to fit. So I got to roll down the passenger side window and jimmy this stick in through my driver's side door, through the passenger side window, roll down my window, fish it back out that side, close the door, get back in, turn the car back on. By this time, the light has been red for a good 3 minutes. And I got traffic swerving all around me. Nobody's honking at me. And so that was good. Maybe they just thought my car stalled. And I'm sure they didn't see what I was doing because my car was like obscuring the stick and the good deed that I was doing there.
Yeah.
But anyways, I got through the intersection and got out and chucked the stick. And that was my good deed. Mm. Has that ever happened to you? You try to do something good and it kind of backfires?
Wow. Well, I'm not prepared for that question.
Yeah.
Maybe today. We'll see.
No. No, this is going to be all good. So we like to have you on the radio show because you're one of the most interesting people in Yuma. The reason I say that is because you have so many creative talents and you run a very successful business. So you're an orthodontist, and in your orthodontic practice, I think you set the bar. I take all of my kids to you specifically. I've never taken any of my kids anywhere else. And they have wonderful results. But not only that, they enjoy going there. Mm-hmm. And I've got a lot of friends that are in the dental profession, and I can't say that for everybody. And it's because, you know, usually when you go to the dentist, you're going to get a shot in the mouth, sure. And nobody yeah. wants that. And at the orthodontist, you don't
yeah.
get that.
Yeah.
But how does that feel? And is that normal to have your patients come to you and enjoy the experience?
It's awesome. I love my job. It's so good. For whatever reason, I've always enjoyed feeling young, being young in that regard. And so we have conversations about, that's one of my favorite parts of the job. How are you doing? What's new? And uh-huh. trying to crack open the nut that is in the chair.
Yeah.
And over time, often it's the really one of the best parts of my job is having that conversation and getting to know that person as a person.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you make a lot of friends.
Yeah. I've thought about this. And since I've started, I don't know if I've met maybe 10,000 people.
Wow.
Right? Over the years, over 20-something years.
Yeah.
You meet the child or the patient, often the child, and maybe a parent or two, and a sibling or two, or if their friends come.
So the parent gets braces the same time as a kid sometimes?
Well, often, of course, they come to the consultation or bring them to the visit. And so there's a, you know, you weren't my patient, but I know you in that regard if you bring your child there. So I thought, how many patients have I had? If I've had, you know, 5,000 patients or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
And so then two or three relationships per patient, that's 10 or 15,000 people.
Yeah.
And that's pretty neat. Yeah. And it has been a part of my job that I didn't expect would be such a fun part.
So, and your staff also carries that really kind of light mm-hmm. and fun personality. Mm-hmm. What is it? I often want to, when I see that type of atmosphere mm-hmm. in a workplace, understand what it's all about. I tell people that I'm interviewing to become mm-hmm. an employee here, life, that you spend too much of it working mm-hmm. to not enjoy your job
yeah.
or at least feel satisfaction mm-hmm. from what you're doing. It might be hard and it might be a grind, but you need to feel satisfaction, fulfillment mm-hmm. from it. And that's what we want to achieve here if this is the right fit for you.
Yeah.
And you've seemed to have achieved that in your practice. How did you get there?
Well, I think just the job itself lends to something kind of fun, because like you said, there's a difference between
putting braces on kids lends itself to something fun. How is that? I think you've woven some gold out of straw here.
Yeah, because it's all about looking better and feeling better and functioning better and keeping your teeth cleaner and that. So it's all good stuff. And not that other dental specialties or medical or wherever you're going, there isn't something that you're trying to do that's good. But often I feel like there's some excitement with a 12-year-old that is kind of contagious.
And that is your average age?
Sure. You know, maybe a little nervous. And so you want to try to nurture, take care of, and I'm really happy with all of my employees as far as that dynamic goes. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the patients, they care about them and they want to spend a little extra time. And I have several of them that have been doing it for 20 years or more. And so, you know, they're motherly in that regard. And they
all seem to have a young spirit too.
Yeah. I have some younger assistants and some that have been there even before me.
But even if they are older, they seem to have that kind of, yeah. How you doing? Yeah. And they're not overly, I would say, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to say overly professional, but overly conservative as far as how they approach it. They're very open and mm-hmm. they're lighthearted and it's a fun experience. Yeah. I had braces mm-hmm. when I was 22, mm-hmm. I think.
I remember.
Yeah. And, you know, I had you put them on and the whole experience was great. I did look forward to those adjustments because I was really excited to how I was going to look.
There you go.
And how my bite was going to feel when the whole situation actually developed and was over.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something that I was like pining every day till the day I got my braces mm-hmm. off, because it really, mm-hmm. the adjustments the day after weren't fun. Your mm-hmm. teeth do hurt, but you can see it. You can see it. Your smile getting straight and anticipate what is going to be the end product.
Yeah, and I also, of course, I mentioned this when I was here before. I worked for a period of time with my dad, and so maybe I learned some of that.
Your dad is also one of the most entertaining people I've ever met.
He's a very curious person, and you know, he would ride his Harley into the office, like literally into the office, and, you know, so he I think brought a little bit of levity and this to.
Does he still ride a Harley?
Yeah, no, he sold it. He rode a motorcycle his whole life until I think he realized I probably shouldn't do this anymore.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
Yeah. I know he loved it. It was a big
part. How did that whole change happen between him to you? Was it something you're like, hey, Dad, I want to take this over? Or did he say, hey, I want you to take this over and let's work out
the practice? Working?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Orthodontics was his, right?
Yeah. He started the practice in Yuma in 1981. And, you know, I might have mentioned before, he was stationed here. Loved Yuma.
Yeah.
Did his time in the military and then came back and set up his practice here because he liked the community so much. And so when he was here, there was really only one other doctor and he was kind of the young guy. And of course, at that time I was in high school and saw that and did not want, that didn't even occur to me to do that. And I was looking to the sky and other places. And it really wasn't until I was almost done with college that I thought, oh, my dad seems to like his job. Maybe I'll look at that. So
that's amazing because do you think you could do that again in today's academic atmosphere that you could wait that late to decide that you wanted to go to dental school? Because it seems like if you're not focused and you don't have that drive to get the grades that you have to get into school, you can't decide after the fact.
Not only that, you got to have all the prerequisites, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. OCHEM and biologies.
Yeah, fortunately, I knew I wanted to do something with my life. And
but you wanted to fly.
I did, but you can't just be a C student. And I mean, I guess you can, but that just wasn't my nature, I suppose. Mm. And I also was inclined towards science. You know, my major was zoology. And
zoology?
You know, animal science and biology and chemistry are part of that road. So I was kind of already down that road, and you can go and fly and have any major, you know, but that's
my nature is if I can have any major, I'll pick the easiest one. Yours wasn't, it was okay. Yeah. I think that, I like this stuff. It might be because biology, chemistry, those types of things, those are harder classes. Yeah.
They're hard, but it, for me is interesting. Like it's not that I wouldn't have an interest in because I took some classes at AWC, including billiards and small watercraft.
Really? Do they still offer billiards at AWC?
Yeah. I don't know, but it was actually a really fun class and very hard to get an A in, by the way. Very hard.
Really?
A lot of math?
No, there was no math. You actually learn how to shoot pool. And then the final is they set up a pool table with the balls in the corners and some in the middle and in the side pockets, and you have to shoot for your grade. You have to get all the balls in within a certain number, and it turned out to be super stressful.
But that sounds awesome because that's reality, right?
It was so cool though. Yeah. So I took fun classes as well, but the ones that were interesting to me were science based.
So you just happened into that kind of. It sounds like you just happened. I like science, so you lucked out in the sense of, oh, I'm going to go into the medical field. So
yeah, I did luck out in that regard. Yeah, because I was prepared more than, like, say, an English major or a music major or somebody
poli-sci major. Yeah,
hey, a lot of poli-sci majors go to law school. In fact,
we're not talking law school; we're talking medical school.
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
there's no science in
not many poli-sci majors get into medical school.
I transferred
for a good reason.
I transferred to ASU thinking I was going to be pre-dental. You know. From
did you really?
College. Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's
and then
cool.
I changed that real quick in the first semester. And I took biology at ASU, you know. Yeah. You're in this huge auditorium.
Yeah.
And hundreds of kids. And I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
So I was just so behind. And because I'd gone on a church mission, I was gone for 2 years. I'd been out of school. And it was just like so overwhelming. And so I thought to myself, I guess I can't do the science thing. Mm-hmm. So what can I do? And so I switched to liberal arts. That was pretty easy. So
what did you major in?
Spanish.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. the emphasis in translation. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it actually ended up working out for me going into the law school route. I mean, it doesn't sound like it, but because of the intense study of a foreign language, it caused me to really understand our own language in a different way or more intensely, I would say.
There are so many layers to every language that when you delve down into it, into any one of them, then you understand how to break apart the different components.
Syntax and the emotion when you're writing. And so it really lended well to law school because now I could use those skills in writing, depending on how you... In law school, you're trained in logical reasoning and writing skills in the sense of I have a purpose for what I'm writing. Am I going to be argumentative? Am I going to be persuasive? You choose what for your audience, what you're trying to do, and you got to kind of build it to that. So it worked out for me. It didn't, I don't know. I couldn't go to dental school. I could go to law school. Anybody can go to law school.
Okay.
It'd take anybody.
So if you had to do it again, what would you change, if anything, with your career path?
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff, to go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
As we wonder why school shootings keep happening, someone is lashing out at loved ones. As we argue about legislation, someone is posting threats on social media. As we continue to mourn the loss of innocent lives, someone is planning the death of more. Knowing the signs is the best way to prevent gun violence. Learn the signs at sandyhookpromise.org.
The Yuma Silver Spur Rodeo presented by Rain for Rent, February 7th to the 9th at Yuma County Fairgrounds. Friday, Man Up Purple Day. Saturday, Tough Enough to Wear Pink. Gates open at 2, performance at 4. Sunday, Military and First Responders Appreciation Day. Gates open at noon, performance at 2. Celebrating 80 years. For tickets, yumarodeo.com. Sponsored by Wrangler, Boot Barn, Coors, Canyon Distributing, Del Outdoor Sign Pro, Entravision, NBC 11, CBS 13, Fox 9, and 560 KBLU.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Because, and I premise that with the fact that maybe a lot of things our listeners don't know, that you're a pilot, you're a chef, you're a musician, you love to travel, you're very good at putting together travel plans and putting together like the agenda. Yeah. I think you would be a great travel agent.
Yeah, I would enjoy that, actually.
Yeah. And so being the orthodontist is the thing that pays the bills, and you've turned it into something that's fun, because I don't think that it's just naturally a fun occupation. I think it's what you brought into it.
Okay.
Yeah. But is there anything that you would have changed, or you followed your route and it just happened that you found the thing that was your niche?
Yeah. I think that's the place for me, but it wasn't necessarily like a dream job. It turned into one. If I could do anything else, there are three other things that I thought, this is what I would want to do.
Okay. What are those three things?
Well, one of them, of course, is aviation. It would be cool to be
an airline pilot.
Sure. Eventually. But I mean,
or a fighter pilot.
That's the one. I mean, right. Who doesn't want to do that? That sounds so cool. But I don't think that was suited for me. You know, that's just it wasn't kind of my
Why?
Disposition. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but there are other things in my life that I want. And I felt like whether that was for me or not, my decisions were based on more than just myself. I wanted to have a family. I wanted to be able to be home. I wanted some things that I felt like, and it turns out it's not necessarily true, but I felt like the military wouldn't give me at the same time.
Yeah.
So, and that's, but it, my dream or one of my three dreams would be to be, yeah, to do that. I mean, it's just so, there's just so much cool about aviation and fighting for, you know, I wish I was a veteran.
Yes.
And also just.
So is that one of your regrets that you didn't join the military at some point?
Maybe. Yeah. I think what my dad did was admirable and valuable. He used it to pay for school and see the world and serve his country. And I kind of skipped all that. I just went to school and then did my residency and then got to work. And so it made him a better orthodontist, actually, because he was able to be a dentist and see things that I never really saw outside of school.
And appreciate our country.
For sure.
Because he saw it from the outside.
Yeah, there are a lot of neat things about that. So I suppose, I mean, it didn't work out in my life to do it like that. But that I suppose, is something that would have been interesting.
Okay, so after fighter pilot, then what?
Well, I wish I could be a rock star.
Yeah, so I was regrets like that lends naturally into this next topic because you have a band called The Regrets.
Yeah, that's right.
The Regrets.
The Regrets, yeah. Yeah, The Regrets. And I think we all of us in there had felt the same. You know, you wish you had a bus to travel and just do performances. And I love music. Music is where I feel, you know, I feel things during music that
there
I
there is a way, you know, things yes, in elicit place. Emotion through music that mm-hmm. very few things can mm-hmm. can do at the same. What was your favorite gig?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, we played on the bass a couple times, and when we first started out, I was very excited. We were all excited about music, and so I bought a bunch of music equipment, and it was cool. But this was again several years ago. And I bought these big old subwoofers and these big old stacks. And I bought a bunch of them because I thought we're gonna do shows.
Rock so, place, yeah.
Yeah, I bought all this cool equipment. And then we show up to this gig on bass. And it was not small, but not huge. It was an indoor thing. And we brought all of our equipment in there and set it all up. And I could see the host kind of looking like, you know, they're used to having a guy with a guitar and a little amp. And I'm bringing in like, you know. We have the dollies bringing in stuff, you know, and I set it all up. And by the time we had it all, we could only turn it on volume like one, you know, because anything after that would just get massive feedback. But it was a good show because the people there were, you know, Marines, and they were just there to have a good time. And so some of the songs we play were like classic rock. And so they, you know, and after a few beers or whatever, everything sounds really, really good, yeah. You know. And so that was a really fun show because we felt kind of like rock stars. We were set up like rock stars.
Who was with you? Who was in the band?
Well, Bobby Lemon.
Okay.
Yeah. And Josh Miner. Do you know him?
Yes. Yeah. Josh Miner. Incredible musician.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Josh is actually very, very talented. And unfortunately, he doesn't live here anymore or yeah. else we might have bought that bus. But then there was another guy named Jared Swecker and Eric Blair. I don't know if you
remember Eric. Yeah, he moved to Sierra Vista or something.
Yeah, he moved to Thatcher.
Oh, okay.
Safford.
Adams.
Safford area.
That's Adams.
And
activity area, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I grew up around that area.
Yeah, and opened up a restaurant over there. So we've all kind of gone and done we have day jobs, but that.
Yeah, because he's an architect that opened up a restaurant.
Yeah, he does drafting and that kind of thing. And then he was a real estate agent here with Brian and then opened up a restaurant because he worked at Neater. So he kind of was feeling his way and then found his spot. So anyway, I think that was all of us. And yeah, so music would be just a dream today.
Okay. So there's the fighter pilot, there's a musician.
I'd be a fighter pilot rock star.
Then what else?
Well, it may surprise you, but I think being a farmer would be really, really cool. I have
what type of farmer?
Probably like wheat.
and okay, so own thousands of acres and have a million-dollar tractor that has the GPS.
Yeah. I was talking to my son the other day, and he was thinking about where to go in the world. And he's feeling like he maybe want to live in the Netherlands or in
And where
Austin.
Is he in his life and his education and so on?
So I would love to talk about Carson.
Okay. But
let me finish my, because
the farmer dream.
The thread, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
For me is, he was like, and there's Yuma. And I said, well, Yuma was a great place to raise a family. But it's not beautiful in the sense that there's a typical greenery. Because I've lived in some beautiful places, but I find Yuma so beautiful. And especially during, well, now, as they're harvesting and seeing all these fields that are set so perfectly.
Yeah.
Everything is straight. And I love straight and organized, you know. And I know what it takes to grow. Like, I've grown stuff in my yard. And the carrots that I grow are like, you know, like
all wonky.
They're just like five legs and and everything's eaten by bugs. And I'm like, this is so, you know, I'll grow some squash or something. It's just like, it's fine. It's edible, but it's not beautiful.
Yeah.
What's beautiful to me, but it's not saleable at a market. And then the success that they have. And I spent a day with Paul Nelson recently. I had some time. I'm like, can you show me your job? And do you know Paul?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Paul is manager of in the Yuma area of, in DiRigo is Andy Boy Farm or something like that. And he took me to all the fields and showed me the whole process, just mind-blowing. The science, the art, the organization, it's so cool. Mm. And to go, and it's magic, really, if you think about what's happening, you know, to take a seed and then you have food or you have a plant or whatever, it's just really, it's been a very rewarding. I've always had, even when I lived in an apartment, I always had a little pot that I'd dig and grow something because I find it just fascinating.
That, yeah, that is interesting.
I think, and I would gain a lot of, I would feel a lot of reward.
I feel that as well in my blood. I think I come from a long line of farmers. My mm-hmm. dad, he wanted to be a farmer and get back into that mm-hmm. in his later years. He was actually a very successful farmer as a young man, but then he got in a terrible motorcycle accident and had complete amnesia, lost all of his memory, didn't know who his mom was, didn't know who his wife was. My dad.
Your dad?
And so as he had to learn to read, and of course he picked up the skills quicker the second time, but he had to learn the basics in life. He could no longer do the farming aspect of it. And so he went in and worked for some of my uncles who had big mechanical shops, and he worked his way up through that aspect and became a diesel mechanic. But he always had that yearning to go back into farming. And I feel that that was in his blood.
Yeah.
And it translated. It's in my blood. I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to do it just dabbling. And I was a failure, mm-hmm. an absolute flop. You cannot dabble because it is precision mm-hmm. and it's consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the law of the harvest. Mm-hmm. And you reap what you sow. And unless you take care of it day in mm-hmm. and day out, mm-hmm. you're not going to reap much.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So there's work. There's a formula. It's precise.
I think, yeah. So let's go back into Carson.
Yeah.
What are his ambitions and where is he?
So Carson's been a really interesting person to raise. He's an adult now, of course. He's my oldest son. He's 27. And so he was born when I was actually in dental school. I expected all of my kids, because I'm so happy about education, I expected all my kids would go to college and go through college. And you know, that was the path of, that's a bare minimum.
Did you ever have conversations with him about that?
Sure.
Because as a dad, I think of that all the time. I don't think I've had any conversations with, hey, probably should go to college because it'll set you up.
Honestly, maybe it was just so ingrained that I didn't even think I had to have that conversation.
Have you shown?
Like, duh. Of course, this is what we do. How do you, I mean, what else are you going to do? And
the reason I ask that is because mm-hmm. nowadays you have professional YouTubers. And so our kids are like, oh, I'm going to be a YouTuber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think they understand the value mm-hmm. of a degree.
Yeah.
And there are kids that, mm-hmm. you know, are billionaires, mm-hmm. Zuckerberg, Bezos, you know.
Sure.
But those are like the
exceptions.
Outliers, right?
Well, I didn't see a path to success without at least going to college. And I mean, obviously that's not true, but I just wanted that for them as a foundation. But more and more so now, I think that may not be, that traditional route may not be the right answer. And there are so many opportunities now to succeed that involve things outside of a traditional formal education, because he did go to college for a little while and he did really well. And then he did really poorly. And it was just a struggle for him.
When he was going to college, what was his, what was the end goal?
I don't know. Oh. I don't think he got really far enough.
He wasn't going to college to get into dental school or to law school.
And maybe that was part of the problem.
Yeah. Okay. You don't have it in sight.
If you didn't have that focus. And so, you know, he came back home and he had gone on a mission to South Africa. And so he'd had some life experiences. And I thought, well, you know, you're ready now for college. And it just, it didn't take. And so he found an online boot camp for computer coding.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like
where this is going.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, you know, you got to do something. Because he'd like had some odd jobs and he worked at a care facility where he was helping kids that were emotionally disturbed. And you know, he's such an interesting person because I'm very logical and he's got a lot of empathy in ways that I don't know. Anyway, so he goes and takes this online boot camp for computer coding. And I'm like, well, okay. And he was so successful at that. He did so well. And he had different modules that he was able to kind of work ahead on. And then by the end, the school was like, hey, would you like to work with us? And so then he worked at the school and that took off. And so I'm like, wow, okay. So, you know, he listened to his inner voice and it was, I'm not to sit in a classroom. I can't do that. And I had done that for so long that I'm like, you just, you know, that's what
just
you
do.
You just suck it up and do it.
Suck it up and do
it. But he just found his own way. And so he had great success in that. And then I felt good about computers as a career because that's what the world is. And if you know how to speak that language,
absolutely,
then you can learn other languages. And that's just what he did. And so then right now he's working for American Airlines as a computer programmer.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's what allows him to have the opportunity to think, where do I want to live? Because right now he's living in Phoenix.
How does he feel about that, where he's at right now? Is he
so
happy?
Cool.
Is
loves he it. He's got a great job. He's got a salary and he's got benefits and all this. And so he's got, and so do I, like there's perks and stuff.
Big
and
family discounts or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's flown all around the world just on his own and met people and done things. Like he's been to Japan and Thailand, and the Philippines, and he's looking to say, well, I'm going to have a fully remote job, Dad. I'm like, that sounds pretty great.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I want to try. I'm going to maybe live in the Netherlands, you know, because he's looking at all.
Why the Netherlands?
I think, you know, when you go online.
More exotic.
Yeah.
Netherlands seems just cold to me. I don't know.
Well, Carson had some really unique experiences growing up. He was very musical and he was able to perform around the world as a pianist. He got really, really good at piano. And I suppose maybe that's what I thought he would do. He's played in New Zealand and Malaysia and these places for concerts and stuff like that.
And has he kept up with that? Cause it's kind of like being a professional athlete. I mean,
yeah, no,
you gotta keep up with it.
Yeah. No, well, he's certainly not playing at the level that he was. He's doing other stuff, but I think is looking online at, like, where's a beautiful place to live? And when you look up the Netherlands, maybe not in February, but they've got lots of green and bikes and paths and outdoors. And just he's feeling the need to be more in touch with nature because he's living in a concrete jungle now in Phoenix. So anyway, so that's interesting. And here's kind of an interesting story. He was with someone in the Philippines. And he was like talking to them about his family and he goes online and kind of Googles me, and up pops Life, Death, and the Law with Jeff. And so he's like, what? And so he listened to your podcast on the other side of the world.
Pretty awesome.
It's pretty good. Huh?
It is cool. I think that since we kind of have dabbled back and forth on different subjects when we started this podcast, really it started on the radio as an advertisement for our business.
Yeah.
And it got boring real quick. I think it got boring to our audience. It got boring to us. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to talk about things that we were more passionate about. And it translated into what direction our country was going and what relation that has to how it was founded. Mm-hmm. And has it resulted in the vision of the founding fathers, or is it something totally off the track?
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Upgrade your home with Dream Lux Remodeling. Locally owned and operated, Dream Lux proudly serves Yuma in the desert southwest using only the best products from Kohler, Delta, Anderson, and more. Elevate your home with grout-free luxury bathrooms and energy-efficient windows and doors. It's Dream Lux for Yuma's best customer service, too. Schedule a consultation by logging on to dreamlux.us, DREAMLUX.US. Find out how you can get 15% off your complete project with Dream Lux. Affordable luxury made easy.
License number 352-236.
Wildlife around the globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. A real friend. The kind of friend you want to thank. And not just with a card or a text, but with a song.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend.
From your friends at the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
And then as we explored that a little bit more, we talked about, okay, are people achieving what they really want in life? And is their search for success resulting in satisfaction, or do they need to find satisfaction where they are?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a combination of the two. How would you
That's great. That's very thoughtful.
Understand and describe that, because, you know, an orthodontist isn't something that, you know, you wake up and feel like, okay, this is going to make me happy. At least I don't imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can go and interact with individuals on a daily basis and feel like you are having an impact on their lives in a positive way, whether it's just, you know, how's your day going? Mm-hmm. And have that be a bright spot in their day with the break from school and all.
Yeah.
And then at the end, having the braces off, then seeing them happier makes you happier, even if the placing of the bracket on the tooth isn't necessarily satisfying. It's the personal interaction, perhaps. I don't know. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I feel like you need to bloom where you're planted. And in, I guess in my case, I have ended up happy with what I've done. Not because I had some dream about being an orthodontist, but an orthodontist, being an orthodontist has allowed me to do the other things that I enjoy.
Yeah. So, and tell me a little bit about that, because your practice model is very, very efficient. And I don't know how you develop that mindset to look to carve out the fat without making it robotic. Can you explain that process a little bit?
Well, I mean, when I say bloom where you're planted, everybody's going to be planted in a different spot. And so I don't know if there's like, this is what you do.
One size fits.
but there are a few things maybe that have allowed me to do what I want to do in my spot. And it sounds funny, but if we're talking about like a business owner, and I suppose this would be true in your own personal life too, but it's having extra time or taking time off and not working so hard. Maybe hard's not the right word. So long, so often. When I first came back and worked every week, and didn't take the time to think. And it was a friend of mine who took a little bit of extra time off and said, you know, this has been really good for me personally.
And was he also an orthodontist?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's been good for my practice as well. So I thought, well, that doesn't really make sense. You know,
right.
I'm going to not be there as much. I'm not going to make
more
as much
money. Work longer hours.
But that's what I think what we're talking about is if you're wanting more money or if you're wanting a better experience. So when I started taking more time off, it allowed me to kind of unwind a little bit and think. And
do you think any of it, though, was counterintuitive that at some point you could take time off and make the same amount of money as you working at your 75% capacity?
Well, that's indeed what's happened.
Full-time.
Which is the crazy thing is that's what has allowed maybe more structure, more organization in planning, realizing, well, I have this amount of time. I need to get this kind of thing done instead of filling every corner with just work.
And when you do that, so I'm there right now. And I guess one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show is because I admire your business model so much and how you've been able to structure it and get out and explore the world and delve into things that you're more passionate about, that I want to learn how you did it so I can mimic it. And my wife asked me yesterday, you're off tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You said you're going to start taking Fridays off. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I did say that. She says, well, you first started saying that when you'd hire a new attorney. That's been a year ago. And then you said after the first of the year, and that's now a month ago, when are you going to start taking Fridays off?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, yeah, I just need to do that. And
it's
fortunately,
actually
I've got
really,
you here. Tell me how do I do it?
You're the boss.
I don't feel like it.
Yeah,
I feel like
that's the problem.
I feel like I'm being lazy. If I take extra time off, and
I suppose it depends on what you do with it.
Something's going to fall through the cracks.
Yeah. Well, at first, perhaps you'll just, you know, feel lazy. But if you are focused, a productive person, which you are, you'll find that your mind will unwind and you'll have ideas and it'll be a more productive use of your time.
Did you feel like a fish out of water for the first days you had scheduled off? And you're like, I'm specifically just not going to go in because that's my plan.
Felt super lazy.
Oh, you did? Okay, so that's natural. You didn't feel like, oh, I'm now living the dream. It did feel awkward. Okay.
And I love your wife, but this isn't now her, you know, she's like, well, I have Friday so that you can come do house chores.
No, and it isn't to do
your
house
time
chores.
With.
She legitimately wants me to spend more time at the farm because she knows I'm happier at the farm. And she knows.
Well, that's why I love your wife.
Yeah.
She recognizes that. That's the important thing. You don't want to fill your time with other things that are not making you happy.
Yeah. No, she's not asking me to do more around the house. It's not because she needs help. She understands that I'm 46 now. And I only have a short time left to live, and I might as well make the best of it. If I can't make those decisions now, I'm never going to. And she wants to see me happy. And I genuinely think that's her motive.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and it's, I recognize not everybody has the opportunity to do that. But
don't
you're asking as
everybody's
a,
got we live in a free a, country, right?
A, fair enough. But as a business owner, this may apply in that regard. And it didn't happen for me day one. It wasn't like I just came out and did that, although that might have been a good thing. Maybe you're now at a point, and I think it might have happened for me at roughly that point, where you have a decision to make and you hear these stories about people that are on their deathbed. Like, they don't say, I wish I would have spent more time at the office. So, you know, you have an opportunity, if you have the opportunity to do that, to make that decision and have some time to be introspective, and you'll fill it with something other than TV and Cheetos. You will. You'll find time on your
that
farm.
Sounds pretty good.
There's a day for that.
Okay.
But not all days. And if you have the chance to do it, if you're at that point in your career where you can, say, rely on a partner, or you recognize that there's never enough money, you can always work more.
That was going to be my follow-up question. Mm-hmm. I don't think, honestly, that your practice suffered mm-hmm. when you took the days off.
Well, I thought it would, and I was willing to make that sacrifice.
And so you were willing to drive an older model car and live in a smaller house.
Yes.
That's what it took.
Right.
But then how it wound up is you became more refreshed mm-hmm. and were more there mm-hmm. at work when you're at work. And so just as productive as a 5-day week and a 3-day week because of that.
For sure.
That's what I saw from an outside perspective.
Yeah.
Is that true?
It's a true story that happened. And maybe I saw this model from my own father who quit orthodontics, which is a lucrative field, and went and did something that doesn't make as much money. It's productive. It makes money, but it's a cut in pay, so to speak. And he did that because he had this other interest. And so now, had he worked the same amount of time as an orthodontist, he would probably have more money. But he's done something different. It's refreshed him in a different way. And
he's
now,
one of the healthiest guys I
he's
know.
He's almost, he'll be 78 in a little bit.
Yeah.
And
I guarantee he could outride me.
He could.
Again, yeah.
Yeah. So where would he be physically and mentally had he stayed in orthodontics until 78 and worked the same? I mean, our jobs are relatively sedentary. We sit down a lot, you know, and he'd be 40 pounds heavier and you know, and now he's got not just a lifespan, but a health span that is different than he would have otherwise. And so I saw him make that choice. And I don't know, maybe that's one reason why I thought, well, there's more to life than work.
Yeah. And I think that you have to be willing to accept the sacrifice of the money mm-hmm. and for the quality of life overall mm-hmm. and recognize that mm-hmm. quality of life at a certain point comes with money, but mm-hmm. it doesn't continue dollar for dollar, minute mm-hmm. for minute. And I don't know where that cutoff is, but if you can say, all right, I don't need a newer car or the nicest car, mm-hmm. and I don't need the biggest house or the nicest decorations in the house, and I'm going to cut back in my spending or anticipate that and schedule for it and then cut back in my work hours, mm-hmm. then that can work. And if you get more productive, wonderful. And if you don't, you're probably still making the right decision. mm-hmm. And I guess what I want to lead into then is, what advice would you give out there for those business owners that are struggling and they feel like they have to work those 60, 70 hour weeks to make it work, that might help them be even more satisfied in what they do and more productive and regain mm-hmm. and rekindle the flame mm-hmm. for that passion that they had to open up that small business by taking a step back.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're having to bloom where you're planted and you're planted in an area that maybe isn't as fertile, and maybe you do have to spend more time than you would otherwise want, instead of maybe taking a week off or a day off or a day and a half off, maybe take one day a week and have a longer lunch and go with some friends, because that's the next part of feeling happy or successful, and that is I wouldn't be, none of this would really matter if I was alone, if I didn't have a partner that I could share that with.
Yeah, right.
Or, and friends to do that with. And so really one of the highlights of my week is Wednesday at noon, which is when I go to lunch with my friends. And it's a time where I have two or three really just very close male relationships. And that has been very helpful for me as well, personally, business-wise, to have somebody that you can talk to that'll actually talk to you. And I think for men particularly, that's hard to have adult male relationships that you're, you know, that you're.
Why is that?
I don't know. And I'm very fortunate because I kind of fell into that with really good friends. Mm-hmm. And
I always thought that was odd. I mean, I see your pack, you know, mm-hmm. not in a bad way, you mm-hmm. know, it's just like, it didn't, I have no desire mm-hmm. to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you ask mm-hmm. me to lunch, I'll probably go, but you know, just to hang out, but mm-hmm. I don't, it's not someplace I want to be or do. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, Sean and I, we go from time to time, usually because we have to or something like that.
Yeah, we have a business mm-hmm. issue we got to talk about.
But it's
about.
Not like something I desired. Mm-hmm. I don't, and so I've always looked at that kind of odd. Mm-hmm. I thought it was odd because I'm like, they must mm-hmm. really enjoy each other's company.
This Jeff guy's a weird dude.
Mm-hmm. No, it was never that. It was just like, I just don't get it. I don't get the bromance here or whatever it is. I just don't understand.
Well, we're all unique mm-hmm. and we speak, I feel, fairly unapologetic with one another. So if there's a problem, we're not nice to each other, but I'll tell you, you know, you really need to think about it this way. Yeah. Don't, you know,
are you talking
so you get
among each other or
among each other?
Yeah.
Among each other or,
hey man, you should be nicer to your wife or you shouldn't listen to your wife in that regard or whatever.
We all need that unfiltered feedback from someone who likes us regardless.
Yeah.
And we trust them to tell us the truth, even if we don't want to hear it.
Yeah. That's it. That was well said.
Oh. I think so too. Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
For coming in again.
Glad to be here.
To have
Thank
you again.
You. It's very kind of you.
Yeah. And that's it for today.
All right. Take care.
Enjoy your weekend.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Reduce your inflation exasperation now at Cars and Carts. No huge cost increases here. The manufacturer of Evolution Golf Carts has authorized significant price reductions on all new Evolution Golf Carts, including the awesome new D5 model with a new sleek front-end design, front rear disc brakes, new chassis design with a 7-foot wheelbase, tilted steering wheel, and updated touchscreen display. This golf cart is nice, and now at insanely low prices. Cars and Carts, the place to go. Call today, 928-726-2286. Cars and Carts, 2899. South Sherry Avenue in Yuma.
Once there was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we. Brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science,
raised the funds,
shifted the narrative,
and transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together,
established the field of neuromuscular medicine,
and made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at mda75.org.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU Eldorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.